Yep, I'm watching the game here, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, it looks like the magic is gone. I mean, what is this, three picks in the second half and the first half already, and just got one for a pick six. It's like he's reverted back to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, that's usually what happens when you're a journeyman quarterback.
I mean, you
give it just enough to let the magic loose, and then come right back.
Crash.
Yep.
And I'm glad right now because I picked the Steelers to win this game. And
the line was like minus one, right?
Yeah. And my picks this week so far coming into today were 4-11. You know,
No.
It's like that old song. Oh yes, I'm the worst predictor. Ooh, predicting almost every game wrong. If you need to win some cash on my bookie, just see my picks and fade me all night long. Just go to my bookie AG and fade me all night long. Yes, that's right. Use my bookie AG and use the promo code TANK. You get a 50% sign-up bonus. And if you fade me, because I'm the worst predictor, you're going to take all of their money, because I'm the worst predictor.
War! What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. War! I'm good guy. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. RBIs is the most important. Slugging percentage and OPS. Wins and losses and ERA. But don't come around with that wins over replacement, because I say war! Ooh, God! Good God! Door. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Yeah!
Now, before we get too deep to the football, yes, that's what we're mainly going to be talking about, football, because it's football season and the Eagles are the champions, defending champions. They got Carson Wentz back yesterday. I got to ask one question.
Sure.
What the hell is that thing the Flyers brought out on the ice tonight?
It's gritty.
I mean, it looks like a mop. It looks like a cross between a Muppet and a mop.
Yeah, it's the Philly Fanatics' messed up cousin. That's exactly what it is.
That thing,
you'll enjoy this one, Frank. That thing's scaring away the Stanley Cups. That's what that thing's doing.
I see small children running away and crying.
But it's one of those, like, I wasn't sold on gritty when they brought it out. The Flyers haven't had a mascot since 1976, and the last cup was 74-75. This thing's so bad that it's just that good. It fell a couple of times on the ice tonight when they shoved it out there. He also shot a t-shirt cannon right in some poor guy's back at point blank range.
So. It's the perfect mascot for Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm all in on gritty, baby. I'm all in on gritty.
You know, one time the Yankees actually tried to introduce a mascot that was so disastrous that fans would beat it up, and they eventually had to get rid of it.
Fans are Billy Martin.
No, Yankee fans.
Yeah, I know. I just imagine Billy Martin getting a little.
This was actually when Billy Martin was in Oakland.
Oh, okay.
So Billy Martin wasn't a part of this one.
Good to know. Well, it's a good thing he wasn't, or else he would have beat the crap out of it.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
So, Smitty, Frank mentioned the Eagles, being defending champs. Carson Wentz is back this week. How are you feeling about that? Are they back to defending championship status? Where are you at with the Eagles?
They were defending champion status when they were champions in the first game, second game, preseason. I don't know if you noticed, but they won a world championship without Carson Wentz with their backup quarterback.
Very true.
So we're fine going into the season. Preseason, they were a little rusty first game. They beat a pretty good Atlanta Falcons team, very similarly like they beat them in the playoffs last year, very low-scoring game. Last play of the game came down to defending Julio Jones in the end zone. Week two, let down, hot down in Tampa Bay. You know, not the best effort overall, especially defensively. But, you know, you're going to have those games like that. And this week took on an up-and-coming Colts team with Andrew Luck looking like he's somewhat back to his former self. And it wasn't the most pretty game out there, but Carson Wentz came in. He looks spry. He looked a little rusty, especially with connecting his receivers. But then again, his receivers are third, fourth, fifth string guys. Alshon Jeffrey's out. Nelson Aguilar is his number one right now, who's a decent number one. And, of course, he's got Zach Ertz. But came to play when it mattered. And the defense is going to be stopping teams at the goal line all year around. There's no reason to think why this team can't take it down again.
Yeah, well, they're going to be in the running, you have to figure. But the thing with being a defending champion, though, is you're always going to get the best performance from the opposing team, and that was what you saw last night from the Colts. I don't think the Colts are really that good, to tell you the truth, but Carson Wentz looked a little rusty to me. But, you know, they got the win. That's all that matters. I almost got the chance to see my neighbor. Hi, neighbor! It's all I know is I heard the banging on the roof, stomping on the roof, thing is getting thrown, and I saw his car out in the parking lot this morning that he refused to go to work, which typically happens after the Colts lose.
Ah, alrighty then. Well, you don't want the Colts to lose, then don't come into Philadelphia after being a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah. My upstairs neighbor is a huge Colts fan, calls the sports radio station all the time, and just talks Colts, Colts, Colts. He's got like...
Wait a second. He calls into the New York radio stations to call Colts, or he calls into
New York radio stations to talk Colts?
That's a move. That's certainly a move. Does he still rail on the owner after they left from Baltimore? Is he that old school, or is he just straight in? He's gotten over that. Okay.
Yeah, he's gotten over that.
That's good. He's moved on and not calling out of market.
It's 35 years, so it's yeah. They've now played more seasons in Indianapolis than they played in Baltimore.
Wow.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time since those moving vans snuck out of Baltimore in the middle of the night.
Yeah, Mayflowers, right?
Yep, and
talk about free advertising.
Yeah, but they couldn't operate in the state of Maryland anymore.
Yep, that's true. Sure. who was that owner? That wasn't Art Modell moved Cleveland to Baltimore. Yeah. Who moved Baltimore to Indianapolis?
Robert Irsay.
That's right.
And now his son owns a team, and his son is something. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to follow the Jim Irsay Twitter account.
Yep.
I mean, last year he had that. The naked stripper at his house, and he tweeted the picture out.
when you're a billionaire or almost a billionaire and enjoy living life or lack thereof, I mean, that's going to happen to you. That's really going to happen to you.
Pat McAfee could probably tell us a billion stories about about the Colts owners and Gregson. My neighbor hated Gregson, the general manager. Really hated him. Hated Pagano.
I think everyone did. McAfee told a great story about the general manager. But McAfee liked Pagano, though. He liked Pagano. He said Pagano was a good guy. But even Chuck Pagano admitted that Andrew Luck gave him a couple free years as head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. He got a little exposed once Luck got out of there.
Yeah, I mean the Colts were – the Colts, they started strong with Luck. It was like they started climbing the ladder. But then they just hit the big shoot and woo, back to the bottom of the AFC South. They really don't have much there. It's like Gregson did a horrible job putting talent around Andrew Luck. And I mean, he's all by himself there. It's almost to the point where you think the Colts might be better off trading Luck for a bunch of draft picks. It's like and seeing what they could do from there.
Yeah, do a little Herschel Walker deal. Needs it. I heard 49ers need a quarterback right now.
Ah, well. I don't think they mess it so much in Garoppolo. They're just going to wait till Garoppolo gets back. They're just going to take it on the chin this year, I guess.
That's very true.
You don't think they go for anyone like an RG3 or someone like that? Bring him in and see what they if they can salvage the season, or is it to just give up?
Well, there was very interesting talk right when it happened to see if the Eagles would accept any offers for Nick Foles. And I think now that Wentz is back and proved that he can take it, if the 49ers throw a first-round pick towards the Eagles for Foles to try to salvage the season, I can't see how the Eagles would turn that away.
But I don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's worth it for the 49ers. Unless you think you're going to win the Super Bowl, it's not worth it at this point.
He's 1-1. Who knows?
Yeah, but it's to me, it's not worth it. Even with Garoppolo, the 49ers were a sixth seed at best, if you ask me. You got the Rams in that division. I mean, if Goff goes down, that's a team I could see going and trying to get Foles.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. The Rams won't get the team to beat in the NFC right now. They're scary. They're scary good.
Yeah, but they got some bad news, though. They lost two key defensive backs in their boat. They're not going to be out the season, but they're going to miss some significant time.
As long as they got that defensive line and Wade Phillips calling the plays on the defense, as well as the offensive firepower, that's really, yeah, I mean, I think it's the best in the league right now. They're scary. They're scary.
What about the Chiefs offense? I mean, Patrick Mahomes in that howitzer of his.
True. But as a disciple of Andy Reid for over a decade, as a Philadelphia Eagles fan, I can attest to this. It ain't lasting. It ain't lasting. Come back to me mid-season and tell me if Mahomes is going to be putting up these numbers, and especially once playoff time comes. They'll do good. They'll win their 11, 12 games this year. But come the playoffs, it might not be one and done, but it will be done sooner than later with the Kansas.
You know, if you ever look at the Chiefs' history, no team has lost more home playoff games than the Kansas City Chiefs over like the last like 20, 30 years. It's like they get these home playoff games and they don't win,
which is astonishing because during the regular season, Arrowhead's one of the toughest places to play.
I mean, we're going back to Jim Harbaugh and Lynn Elliott missing 900 field goals.
Dick Vermeil couldn't win there. Was Schottenheimer in Kansas City at all?
Schottenheimer was in Kansas City for a long time. And
yeah.
His success was sporadic. He won a couple of – he had that 1 year where they went to the AFC Championship game with Montana. But after that, he had like the Lynn Elliott game, where they were the best team in the regular season, home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and they lose 9-7 to the Colts and Jim Harbaugh because their kicker missed like five field goals.
Hate to see it. Oh, now they got Marty Schottenheimer 2.0 calling the shots. So tough luck for Kansas City, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that loss to the Titans last year in the playoffs just took the cake. Yeah, I mean,
welcome to Andy Reid.
I mean, they dominated the game, dominated the first half, and then they just decided, oh, okay, we got enough points here. We'll just try to hold out.
Who is the head coach? Mike Mularkey and the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, Mike Mularkey couldn't save Mike Mularkey's job. Yeah. Couldn't save his job.
Probably the best performance of his coaching career, and it couldn't save his job.
Nope. And
he was.
And Revis Island was. Was sinking into the ocean on that day.
Is there anything specific that you attribute Andy Reid's failures in the postseason to, Smitty? Is there like one? I know everyone jokes about the clock management. I know that's a real issue, but it is the reason why they just screw up every single year countless times.
A lot of it has to do with stubbornness. The way he loses games is very, very similar. And it's not just like in-game calling. A lot of it's personnel. When it comes down to it, you'll have playmakers at some positions and lacking at others big time. And the way that he uses them in clutch situations is the definition of insanity. He just keeps doing it over and over and over again. Like, I guarantee when it's playoff time this year, Tyreek Hill won't touch the ball. He just won't. He'll be used as a decoy. and you'll have the third string wide receiver, whoever it is right now. I know it's not Jason Avant anymore, but somebody will get like 20 targets. That definitely shouldn't. Kareem Hunt will disappear into the night on the goal line, and he'll try to get too cute and do stuff.
Andy Reid will have Patrick Mahomes doing dump offs to the fullback.
Oh yeah. Dump offs to the fullback. He'll do a shovel pass that will be predicted from the heavens in like a third and goal situation. That'll get picked off. And it's just the same stuff, different day with Andy Reid. And I love Andy Reid. I love him as a person. I think he's a very, very above average coach. His preparation is second to none. But it's just, you got too much of a scouting report on him at this point that he hasn't changed at all when it matters. And that's was my fear with getting Doug Peterson, is that it was just kind of a poor man's Andy Reid. But Doug Peterson learned from Andy Reid's passiveness at times and over-aggressiveness at other times, and how to use personnel and play calling. And it's really learned from Andy Reid's mistakes.
I'll never forget the first time I heard Doug Peterson's name.
Let me guess. It would have been I don't think you would have heard him in college because you went to Louisiana Monroe Korean low-level school. I would say you heard his name when he was backing up Brett Favre at some point.
And nope.
He did like a puff piece on him.
Nope. 1993, day after my birthday, Miami Dolphins were playing the Philadelphia Eagles, and Don Shula was tied with George Callis for the most career wins. Marino was out for the whole year. He already had it towards Achilles. And Dolphins also back up, Scott Erickson?
Scott Erickson.
They lost him in the game. He got knocked out of the game. So they had to turn to the third-string quarterback on the bench, the emergency quarterback, and happened to be Doug Peterson, who, when finding out he had to go in the game, threw up on the sidelines.
Yeah,
and went out there.
You're in a bad spot when you're putting in Doug Peterson, the player, into a football game. I'll tell you
and that. Actually went out there at Veterans Stadium and led the Dolphins to a win over the Eagles. Shula to get the wet record win.
Oh, that's what happens when Rich Coates ain't your head coach. Yeah, Doug Peterson beat you. But I remember when Doug Peterson was announced as starting quarterback when Andy Reid came over to Philadelphia. He brought Doug Peterson, who was his backup at the time at Green Bay when Andy Reid was quarterback coach. And nobody really knew who he was. And Andy Reid inserted him as a starter and kind of a protege to Don McNabb. And, of course, typical Philly, we're not having it. This backup bum, he's only coming over because his wife and Andy Reid's wife is best friends. Like, how are you going to do this? And Doug Peterson against the Arizona Cardinals in the first quarter of the first game put up 21 points. Eagles leading 21-0 right off the shoot. We're talking Super Bowl right away. Right away. And the Eagles lose that game 28-21. Yeah. Maybe 28-27, but it's like 20-27. They ended up losing that game after going up 21-0 in the first quarter. So, yeah, that's what happens. What are you going to do?
Let's talk a little bit about the highest scoring game this week. It was Saints Falcons. Frank, you are firmly on the side that the Falcons might be the most unclutched team in the NFL, which history would probably err on your side on that one. What did you make of this game? It was just classic shootout between Saints Falcons, or it's a little something
yeah,
more?
I mean, it's a classic shootout between Saints Falcons, which into my mind is the most underrated rivalry in professional sports.
Really?
Yes. These teams have been battling for 50 years. And when the 60s and 70s, when both teams were awful, they basically, we're in the NFC West, yes. Atlanta and New Orleans in the NFC West is sounds comical, but it was that way for a long time. And when they played each other, they pushed each other. And that was what the Saints and Falcons would only win like four or five games a year. And they made sure that they had to beat each other.
Archie Manning years, right?
Yes. And the Grits Blitz in Atlanta. And then they both sort of got good, and they had a couple of good years there, here and there, and then you moved to the AFC South, and now they're both pretty solid, and that rivalry has just only gotten more intense, and it's just, look at the game when the Saints had their comeback after Hurricane Katrina, well, that's against the Falcons.
Block punt by the gentleman who died of ALS. What was his name?
What was it, Gleason?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
Steve Gleason, I think his name is.
Yep, you're correct. Nice. So, you're right about that.
Yeah, so the Saints, Saints and Falcons have had a great rivalry, but just look at the Falcons. They win these games. Most games they win. They either have lead it most of the game, or they win by double digits. Yeah, but when a game is like back and forth. If like the Super Bowl against the Patriots, if the things start going the opposite in the wrong direction, it snowballs on them and they just can't stop anybody.
Yeah, and you're not wrong about that. And it carried over to last season when they couldn't be clutch against the Eagles in the playoffs. After beating the Rams away, they came into Philadelphia, had the chance to win it. Last play of the game on the goal line. Four straight plays on the goal line to win it. And they end up losing and started off the beginning of this year almost the exact same way. So
here's a crazy stat for you. Last year, Julio Jones had 1,500-something yards receiving.
Four touchdowns?
Only three touchdowns. He can't get in the end zone. Something happens to Julio Jones when the ball's close to the end zone. He freezes up. He doesn't make the catches. Now, sometimes it's a bad throw by Matty Ice, although, as I like to call him, Matty Dumpster Fire, because there's no ice in his veins. There's no ice. Ice is Tom Brady. When the game's on the line, Matt Ryan's throwing the ball 20 feet over his receiver's heads. But Julio Jones, how does he not score more touchdowns when you have that many yards? That doesn't add up to me. That tells me he can't get in the end zone. He doesn't make that move or is able to make that leaping catch that like Odell Beckham would make or Antonio Brown would make. He can't get that little separation, and Matt Ryan can't find that little window to throw in. And that's all comes from clutch, and the Falcons don't have that clutch. I mean, yesterday the Saints win the coin toss and go up the field methodically. They got like third down conversions going down the field. Taking 9 minutes to score that touchdown. It was the point where even if the Falcons turned the Saints away from the end zone, the Saints could have knelt on the ball, kicked the field goal with nothing on the clock, and the Falcons would not have gotten the second possession because the Saints used all 10 minutes of overtime. And that's the Atlanta Falcons. They just don't know how to make the clutch plays.
Smitty, let's get back to your division. The NFC East fared okay yesterday. The Giants won, got their first win. Redskins 2-1, like the Eagles. Cowboys don't look so good. Who do you think? Is there any competition other than I don't know if the Redskins are for real, but are you worried about any of those other teams in your division?
Well, anytime a team beats Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, even though he's playing at 30% max, you kind of worry about it. Alex Smith is extremely efficient. They have a couple weapons on offense, especially if Jordan Reed is healthy. You know, you don't take the Redskins lightly, especially since they always, always play the Eagles tough. Other than that, Cowboys stink. They just stink. They got no receivers. Dak Prescott had a wildly overrated year 2 years ago. Granted, they were 13-3. Lost first round in the playoffs at the home field advantage. But, I mean, he's fallen so far backwards, it's not even funny. What's his name? Jason Garrett should probably have been out of there 5 years ago and is still hanging around. Jerry Jones is the general manager. Please keep him there. Keep him there. Keep him the general manager until he dies. And then 5 years after that, let his corpse run that team, please, as an Eagles fan. And then the Giants, I thought the Giants were going to be better this year. I thought they were going to maybe not compete for the division, but at least, you know, spark some fires and do something. But their offensive line is so trash. And Eli Manning's just getting up there that I just don't think they I don't think they have it in them. Granted, they went down to Houston, pulled out that game, but you're not going to go season 0-16 unless you're Cleveland Browns. The Giants are going to win a couple games here and there, but the Eagles, they're 2-1 right now, basically playing an extended preseason with injuries galore. They're far and away the team to beat in the NFC East.
Well, I think you're 100% right about the Cowboys. I think Dak Prescott never even deserved to be Rookie of the Year. It should have gone to Ezekiel Elliott.
Yep.
The Cowboys offensive line right now is ravaged by injury. You got that one guy out there who's got the illness. Who knows when he's coming back? And Dak Prescott is under assault. Everyone knows where he's going to throw the ball. So he's well scouted. He's having a terrible time. Unless Ezekiel Elliott has a big game, the Cowboys have no chance. Their defense is suspect. And Jason Garrett keeps his job because he allows Jerry Jones to walk all over him.
Yep.
That's about it. That's all you can say. A coach, there's a lot of coaches that would not let Jerry Jones into practice and run plays. Jason Garrett does. And That's why Jason Garrett is going to be the head coach for the Cowboys for the foreseeable future, even though he is a horrific head coach. And the Cowboys are in a horrific situation, and I couldn't be more happy. I mean, They got so much talent that's gone through there. They got more resources than any other team. Who wouldn't want to play for the Dallas Cowboys? You got Earl Thomas of the Seahawks practically begging to be a Cowboy. He's in making an exception saying, see, you should sign me, you should trade for me yesterday. I mean, which is an embarrassment to the league, honestly. It's an embarrassment to the league. And the Cowboys just can't get out of their own way. For the Giants, though, I think yesterday was a good sign for them. They removed the disease. They removed the worst offensive lineman in the history of football. Eric Flowers finally got benched. And Eric Flowers is so bad. Betty White could bull rush him and run over Eli Manning. That's how bad Eric Flowers is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's huge. Huge props to Betty White right there, more than anything. But credit to the Giants staff for sucking it up and benching the first-round pick. There's a lot of staffs out there who will just let it ride and see if it gets better for a long time.
Well, it's long overdue. It was long overdue. And yesterday, Eli Manning had time to throw. He made his throws. And the Texans, who were supposed to have this great front seven, did nothing. J.J. Watt got one sack late in the game after the Giants already were up by 10 points. And J.J. Watt, first sack in 2 years. I mean, I know he's had some injury problems, but
he's not what he once was.
No, that's for sure. And Merciless has done nothing. Watson's done nothing. The Houston Texans. You want to talk about disappointing teams. Bill O'Brien may not make it to Thanksgiving at this point. I really think he's on the verge of being fired any day now.
Yeah, you can't be 0-3 with Deshaun Watson coming back in the third year of a program that you really took over to rebuild and go somewhere. And you can't.
No, Bill O'Brien, unless the Texans turn things around quickly, he won't last the season.
I don't disagree with you there, Frank. Do not disagree.
Smitty, this is going to sound like a pretty hot take, but do you see any of Carson Wentz in Josh Allen?
Oh, wow.
At all.
I mean, he's played one game. I see the reckless abandon to try to win in him a little bit. Carson Wentz had that and kind of had to scale it back when, he's trying to go for that extra yard instead of going out of bounds and gets absolutely clocked. I guess you can make an argument for that. I mean, even Carson Wentz is just so young to compare him to a person historically that would have that reckless abandon like John Elway or Brett Favre going that extra mile, putting the body on the line. But I mean, Josh Allen, Josh Allen trying to leap over a middle linebacker right in the middle of the field. I mean, that's not reckless abandon. That's straight a kamikaze mission. He's going to get killed if he keeps doing that. But I mean, you love to see the effort, and the kid's definitely has some talent. Should have started over Peterman day one, that's for sure.
I don't know which Sean McDermott season Nathan Peterman. Nathan Peterman might be one of the worst quarterbacks. And statistically, it bores out that he might be one of the worst quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.
Agreed. And that's a huge detriment to Sean McDermott, just having confidence in him after last year. Guy threw 5 interceptions and a half last year. Why are you putting that poor kid out there again as a starting quarterback? I mean, he must be Joe Montana on life and roids and God in practice if Sean McDermott's going to have the
And then he trades A.J. McCarron on top of that, which I don't understand.
I mean,
the Bills' offensive line is suspect. So maybe you don't want to throw Josh Allen out there knowing that he might get hurt. But
Josh Allen's also a big boy that can take care of himself, evidently.
Yeah. He showed that yesterday.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't coddle him if you wanna see if he has it or not. I mean, if you're gonna do it, might as well throw him out there and see if he can do it.
And the Vikings yesterday, I'm convinced the Vikings practiced and were ready. We're basically playing half speed yesterday. Is they're focusing on the Rams for Thursday, killed everyone's knockout pool.
That was honestly one of the worst regular season performances I've seen in recent history. They were 17 point favorites, and they were down like 20 points in the first quarter. I mean, they came out flat, and that's what happens. Credit to the Bills, they punched them in the mouth.
Yeah, well, the Bills scored on the first series, and then the Vikings fumbled on the first series. And the Bills got the ball, went and got another points. Then the Vikings fumbled again, the Bills scored again. And so it's like anything that could go wrong went wrong. And on my picks that I do every week, I actually picked the final score to be 27-6.
Just the opposite, huh?
Just the opposite.
You're close.
Frank, let's talk about your team. You're one of three teams in the league who are 3-0. Are the Dolphins legit?
I don't know yet. They fooled me once, but too many times in the last 20 years to really fully believe them yet. I mean, this is the fourth time they've been 2-0 since 2002, and the previous three times they didn't make the playoffs. And they went 3-0 in 2013. And went and finished the season 8-8. So my fear is we'll have a repeat of that, of course. But they're finding ways to win games. They're getting clutch plays, although they lost Hughes for the season. And you know how Hughes hurt his knee?
Trying to protect the quarterback.
No, I didn't hear it.
He sacked Derek Carr yesterday and fearing that he'd get called for a penalty like Clay Matthews.
Like landing on
his knee. He tore his knee trying to avoid landing on the quarterback. This is what this idiot commissioner has created.
Wow. Yeah, and that's a very good point. When it comes to the injuries, trying to just pull it off. I mean, that's a catch 22. But I don't know about that one, Frank. I think your Dolphins had three pretty easy teams to play early in the season.
Titans went to Jacksonville and beat Jacksonville.
Yeah, you're right. And I think that was also a down game from Jacksonville after playing their Super Bowl last week against the Patriots. But you can only play who's on your schedule. And you're right, the Dolphins beat them all. They're 3-0. So
next 3 weeks are going to be tough.
I will say this. I've been a Ryan Tannehill fan since he was at Texas A&M as a wide receiver. And then I was a Ryan Tannehill fan when he moved to the quarterback. And then during Hard Knocks, I was a Ryan Tannehill fan. And I was a big Ryan Tannehill fan last year before he tore his ACL. I thought he was going to have a huge breakout year. So I'm still a Ryan Tannehill fan. And I think he's going to be a very, very good quarterback in the NFL. It's just a matter of if and when he can get over that hump.
I think the Dolphins go into a week four in a situation as this. They can't get embarrassed next week. They have to play hard. They don't have to win. But if they look good, if they come out of there, come out of Foxborough, and the final score is like 27-20, mm-hmm. I think you're okay. I think you say, okay, we survived the first matchup with the Patriots. Let's see if we could beat them in at home again. Like we beat them in. The Dolphins do pretty good against the Patriots in Miami. Tom Brady's had more trouble winning in Miami than any other place in the league. I think he's had more losses at whatever the hell he called a stadium today. It's now Hard Rock Stadium, but yeah. It's got like the stadium's had like 1,000 names over the years. But whatever it's been called, he's always had trouble winning there.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see. The Patriots are they're kind of in a must-win situation.
Yeah, they usually
win these games. Win these games. But if the Dolphins could somehow turn the tables on them, it could be a defining moment in two new eras.
Yep, the Dolphins have a 2-game division lead. They're going into Foxborough with house money, playing angry. Desperate Patriots team. That's an impossible situation. Impossible. I mean, if they keep that game close and give the Patriots a fight, I'll have a lot more confidence even if they lose, to tell you the truth. I'd have a lot of confidence even if they lost the game. If the game was close and it was a good hard fight. I mean, if they get their doors blown off, that's my big worry. I don't want to have them get their doors blown off.
Yeah, you play to win the game. You're always looking to go in and shock some people, but I 100% agree with you there, Frank. As long as they don't get embarrassed and come out injury-free, that could be a win.
Yeah, they're playing with house money right now. 3-0, they're playing with house money. I love the Albert Wilson high-fiving Jakeen Grant into the end zone at the end of the game there. That was just classic.
Of course.
And you know the trouble with John Gruden? The Raiders right now is, don't you?
And why you? It's not 2002 anymore, and he can't coach.
Well, let me put it this way: you don't want to ask anyone on the Raiders for change. They still never give you 4 quarters.
Well, that's true. They could also use a pass rush. If only they had a guy that can rush the passer.
I can't believe Bruce really actually said that yesterday. We need a pass rusher. It's almost like he's trolling the Raiders. Right now, he's got this 10-year contract. Him and Davis's son, Mark Davis. You want to talk about it? The guy literally looks like the guy from the kid from the porch in Deliverance. I mean, there's something wrong there.
There's definitely something wrong there.
Or do you remember what Mark Davis reminds me of? You ever see the movie Benchwarmers?
Yes.
Not a great movie, not a classic by any sense. No. But the brother that was afraid to come out in the sun, that didn't want to come out in the sun all day, that's who Mark Davis looks like to me.
Well, who knows? Maybe send him down to West Virginia, give him a banjo, which will surprise people.
I mean, there doesn't look like there looks like something's wrong with him. It really does.
And that's your words, not mine, Frank. Your words, not mine. But the Raiders are in they're not in a good spot. That's for sure.
And no one's ever going to cry for the Raiders, even though it's been even though it's been a bad stretch for them. They were so mean and evil over the years. It's almost like they're getting their comeuppance for what they used to do. Yeah. That they openly cheated. And it was basically, they had the philosophy, just win, baby. And if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
That's right. And then, a 16-year playoff drought will be good enough punishment. And then once you make the playoffs, whoops, there goes your quarterback's knee or leg.
I mean, they had a player on their team who wrote a book. They called me an assassin and almost like gloated that he paralyzed Daryl Stingley.
That wasn't Bill Romanowski's book, was it?
No, that was Jack Tatum.
Gotcha. I'm pretty sure Bill Romanowski, if he were literate enough to write a book, would probably say similar things.
his book would be like 10 pages. It'll be one syllable on each page.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you just get frustrated and spit on the book.
Smitty, who's your Rookie of the Year?
Rookie of the Year. And I forgot Baker made his start now.
We didn't even talk about the Browns. It feels like old news.
I'm still going to go with Saquon. I think he's going to get way too many opportunities to not have a productive season, if only on paper. I think he probably goes for like 1,200 yards total, has like 15 touchdowns, or 1,200 yards rushing, 15 touchdowns. He had another 500-600 yards receiving. I think his stats are going to be Pro Bowl-ish, and thus he'll just hand him over the Rookie of the Year. But I think Baker competes for it. I definitely think so. I don't think Josh Allen really elevates himself above those two, but you never know. You never know.
I got a name for defensive Rookie of the Year so far.
Yeah.
Minka Fitzpatrick.
Well, there you go. The guy who relented his Fitzmagic nickname to Ryan Fitzpatrick, correct?
Yep. but he's made some big plays so far. He's been terrific in the secondary. He's played some corner. He played corner yesterday. Played safety already. He's just made a big play against the Jets, made a big play against the Titans.
You like him more than Denzel Ward, Frank?
I'm really liking Minka Fitzpatrick right now.
Okay. What about on offense? Who you got for Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Well, I agree. I'm sticking with Saquon.
No respect for Darnold. If Josh Allen keeps things up, I feel like if the quarterback plays even decent, it almost eclipses a running back who plays well.
Well, so far this is the sum up of the rookie quarterbacks. We haven't seen Josh Rosen's getting his first start next week. Josh Allen had one great game. Sam Darnold was great in his first game, and he's been diminishing results ever since. I mean, last week he looked like Browning Nagel. Baker Mayfield only played a half, really, so you really can't say anything about him. Saquon Barkley, whenever he gets a chance to run, he runs. Yesterday, without Eric Flowers, there wasn't anyone in his face as soon as he got the ball in his hands. So he actually had a good game against the Texans. Some of the people comparing him to like Barry Sanders is ridiculous, but I think he has a good chance to be like a top star running back for the next 10 years.
Smitty, before we let you go, can you kind of let us know what's going on in your world at Barstool? I know you've got a lot going on with quite a few different things, but just let everybody know what you're up to and what you got going on.
Yeah, me personally, besides the standard blog and Philly Sports blog running the Philly Sports site, we got Barstool Game Time, which I'm in charge of, in which we got a bunch of exciting things coming up. We got a NBA live game with Frank Kaminsky, a whole event around that coming out soon. We also are going down to Carolina and doing a stream with CJ Anderson and a couple of the Carolina Panthers very soon and a bunch of other stuff. But as far as football is concerned, I believe I will be at the Eagles-Giants game in the Meadowlands doing radio that day. Not sure if that's confirmed, but other than that, Eagles got the Titans this week in Nashville. Apparently it's a hot ticket. Could not get it, but I will be at the Eagles-Vikings October 6th. Hopefully the Vikings are still down and out.
You know the Vikings are going to win those here, right?
Yeah, I think after this game, the game they just had, I think they do win. And just
everyone's off the Vikings. Everyone's on the Rams.
Yep.
It just begs that the Vikings are going to bounce back and win. That's how this league works now. It's upside down.
All right, Smitty. Thanks again. Thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good times.
It's always terrific. It's always terrific to hear many of the different fans we get here, and it's great. And I'm glad you came on.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Frank. Anytime, guys.
Thanks again, man. Talk to you later.
All right. See ya.
Don't sugarcoat it.